Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres and Rachel Donner from Locked On Flyers. And Rachel, I definitely just lied to you before we got going here. I said something like, I think I could name all the NHL head coaches if I needed to, but let me bring up a list. Now that I'm looking at the list, there is no earthly way I would have got even 20, 25 maybe of these head coaches. How many do you think you could name in the league? Like, because I'm looking right now, like,
oh, Dallas. God, like five or six, probably.
Because, like, Dallas, I would have never had with Rick Bonus. Minnesota, do you know who Minnesota's head coach is?
I should.
I don't know if you should.
Everson?
Yes, Dean Everson. Dean Everson, I think is how you okay. pronounce his last name. There's easy ones in here, like Mike Sullivan for Pittsburgh and Alain Vigneault, of course, you would know for Philly. Lindy Ruff in New Jersey is easy for me. There's a lot of tough ones in here. Sheldon Keefe, John Cooper, easy ones. Dave Hackstall, I forgot until this moment, was the Seattle head coach. I remember that happening, but I had forgotten.
Yeah, and of course I would know Peter Laviolette in Washington.
Right. So that is in reference. That's a little preview for a conversation we're going to have a little bit later. Jeremy Colleton fired by the Chicago Blackhawks. And I kind of want to get into who might be the next guy that's on the hot seat that could go out the door for his team. So we'll talk about that on today's episode. Some good games to look forward to this weekend in the NHL. And we'll kind of breeze through the Locked On NHL power rankings. I know they spent a lot of time on the show yesterday on that. So we'll look into that. And also the part of the conversation about the power rankings, the Pacific Division is super interesting right now. Calgary seems to be coming back to earth. The Ducks and the Kings are maybe the two best teams in the league going right now. So all that's coming your way. But I just wanted to throw a question by you that, I was thinking about earlier, because I'm going tonight to see the Oilers and the Sabres play to see Connor McDavid. And I take every opportunity I can to see Connor McDavid play hockey. I've been driving down to Erie games when he was in juniors. Just love watching the guy play. I think it's a must-see event as a diehard hockey fan every time he's on the ice. And I was wondering, is there a player that – it doesn't even have to be current. Like, is there a guy that just you want to see him play every time? Or is there a guy you never got to see play that you'd be like, yeah, like, I wish I could have had the opportunity to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of, this is like a terrible downer, but this week was the anniversary of the unfortunate death of Pelle Lindbergh, a Flyers goaltender. Mm. And I think about him a lot. I did see him play in person when I was like 9 or 10 years old. So if that, you can tell how old I am now. But he was just such a brilliant goaltender and could have been, I think, one of the greats in Flyers goaltending history. And, you know, the Flyers goaltending history is very fraught, as you are well aware.
Yes.
And he was just something special. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that he was actually the goaltender for Team Sweden in the 1980 Olympics that the U.S. famously won. But so he played in that tournament as well. And he is actually the goaltender that innovated the idea of having a water bottle on the net.
Really?
During the game. Yeah, he had hydration problems. And he was the first goaltender to keep a water bottle out on the net with him during games. So that's kind of a cool piece of trivia for him. And like, I wish I could have seen more of him.
I feel like he would have been one of the first European goaltenders in the league. Do you think? Because there weren't a lot of I don't think there were a lot of European netminders back then, or skaters.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There was a lot of Swedes coming over at that point.
That's right.
But you know, like the early mid 80s.
Yeah.
But
okay, so that's really that first big wave is actually right around then. So
yeah.
I also feel like for players right now, like the fact that you're covering the Flyers, you get to see Ovechkin and Crosby enough that there's not really that marquee-ness to it. Because like that's the thing with McDavid is he only comes to town once a year, whereas some of the other stars of the league, like they've been kind of right here in our backyard. So
it's true. I think we're pretty lucky out here.
Is that the way you've been phrasing it the last 15 years for the Flyers? Pretty lucky?
Well, I don't know.
I know what you mean, though.
Just thinking more bigger picture.
Yeah. So we were looking at the Locked On NHL power rankings as well, and they talked about this a little bit on yesterday's podcast. We won't spend too much time on it, but there were a couple of teams that I thought were really interesting as to where they slotted, especially given where they were last week. The Toronto Maple Leafs jumping, I think they took the biggest jump of anybody, going from 19 to 10. The Golden Knights still sitting down there at 24 was interesting to me. Also, the Calgary Flames actually going up in the rankings from 8 to 4, and we'll talk about them a little bit more as well. Is there anything that was – what was the most surprising thing to you on the Locked On NHL Power Rankings this week?
I mean, other than the Flyers actually moving up a couple spots.
Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I was just still intrigued by people, I think, overinflating some of the other Metro teams a little bit. I mean, the Metro division is very good right now. And, you know, the bottom team in the division are the Islanders, and they're still above 500. And no other division can say that right now. So, and the Islanders are even above the Pens, and the Devils are in the 20 slot here. But if you look even above the Flyers, you have the Caps and the Rangers. And, you know, both of those teams at the time of this voting were below the Flyers in terms of point percentage. So I think like people are very confused by the Metro and don't know how to rank them right now, because there hasn't been enough head to head to really gauge who's better than the other. And I think that's kind of what's going on here.
I think, and also like the teams like Columbus and New Jersey, who have played well as of late, both are riding 3-game win streaks right now. Mm-hmm. Columbus has won 7 of their last 10. I think it's going to be a lot of reputation until you really prove it over a larger sample size, because the Devils are sitting down there at 20, the Blue Jackets at 18. And so they're starting to kind of crawl their way up our rankings. But like for those two teams specifically, while we're on the Metro, like how much are you believing in both of them that what they're doing right now is something that they could do over the course of the entire season?
You know, I'm not sure. I think a lot will depend on injury status, to be honest. But I also think when you have a team like the Blue Jackets that's not star power based, it's all systems based. And when the system is working, it's working. And that is a sustainable style of play. So I think the Blue Jackets are absolutely a team to keep an eye on that front. And then the Devils, it's just like for them, I think it's a roller coaster ride, and they're going to have a lot bigger swings of ups and downs. But you know, with a lot of the young talent they have that maybe can't put together consistent runs of quality play because they're still getting their feet wet, in combination with maybe some, you know, goaltending that's going to go back and forth between being great and being a disaster. And that's just what young teams are like.
Right. And the last thing for me on the power rankings is I want to kind of bring up the Rangers, because this is more of a stats argument. I had them way lower than where they ended up at number 9. Any game I've watched this season, they've been seemingly run over in their own end for like entire games at a time. And if I wanted to make a stats argument against them, they are dead last in the NHL in Corsi 4 percentage. They are second last in the NHL in expected goals percentage. So like the numbers kind of back up that they're getting outplayed, but Igor Shesterkin has one of the best save percentages in the league so far this year. And that counts. You know, I don't want to say, well, you're not good, just your goalie's good. Your goalie's on the team. But
yeah, there's a reason why he is on my fantasy hockey team and no other Ranger is.
Yeah, he's easily right. Exactly. Like he's kind of carrying them right now. And I liked him coming into the league and his first couple of years. But is he going to be putting up a 943 save percentage all season? Because as that comes back down to earth, assuming that it will, and the Rangers continue to get kind of run over in terms of puck possession and shot attempts, I think they're the team that's gonna fall off the most. So, like, in the Metro right now, they're sitting third, 17 points. I think they'd be the team right now I'd want to tell you is going to finish, like, seventh or eighth. Like, I'd be more convinced that they will than anybody. But, again, the goaltending is standing in the way of that currently. So that's our NHL, Locked On NHL power rankings. I want to get into a conversation about the coaching in the league and who the next potential coach to be fired might be. And then we'll talk about the Pacific Division and look forward to some games this week, all coming up in just a little bit. But this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. I love Thanksgiving, all the good food and treats and plenty of them. But maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar, with plenty of protein, low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for you when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built bar or two. New surprises all month, limited flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's nothing like a Built bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Joe DiBiase and Rachel Donner back here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Jeremy Colleton fired by the Chicago Blackhawks. Obviously, Joel Quenneville resigned his job before that. Andrew Burnett took over as the interim. So two coaches out the door, obviously very different situations, even though both are kind of related to the same organization. The Blackhawks, second last in the NHL, 8 points. Actually, that's third last now because Ottawa's down at 7. 3-9-2 record. Colleton out the door. And I'm kind of looking at, like, because there's no odds of this on Bet Online. There's odds for next coach fired in the NFL, but not for the NHL. If you were going to be making odds for the next coach fired in the NHL, like, who's a good idea for being listed as the favorite? Because I'm looking right now, and it's tough because the teams at the bottom, I don't really think their coaches are in position to be let go. Like, Seattle is struggling a lot right now, but they just started and they just hired Dave Haxtell. So obviously they're not doing that. Arizona, nobody had expectations on. So Andre Tirigny, it would be surprising to me if they fired him after 1 year, after not even 1 year, after, you know, 13 games. So I guess I don't have a great idea here for who the favorite should be.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of new-ish coaches in the league right now. There was a lot of coaching movement over the last two off seasons, and so there's not a ton of people that management are looking to fire or might fire just because they would need more time. The only one I kind of have in the back of my head, and again, you know, this organization doesn't tend to fire people early enough, but I would say the Canucks and Travis Green.
Yeah.
I think, like, that's really the best option right here because they've not been consistently great. Now, the roster that he's been given has also not been consistently great in terms of, you know, ability to take that next step. So I think that if he were to get fired, it would be like a excuse firing or like a we have to do something firing, but the Canucks don't tend to do that either. Like, the Canucks and the Jets don't do that very often.
I think that's the best one you could hit there, because you have the longevity. He's been there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. You have them struggling right now. They're 12 points, 5-7-2 in 14 games played. I think just along the timeline of the organization, they're at that point where, all right, you gotta win. Like, you've got to win. There's no more building. Like, this is year five. And for the GM too, maybe the GM would not be like a midseason thing, but I've thought about that for Jim Benning for years, but for Travis
right.
Green too.
But they never fire Jim Benning. So
they never fire Jim Benning. Right. So, but does Jim Benning think, all right, now that I'm on the hot seat, let me get rid of the coach and buy myself a little bit more time?
Could be.
Green, I think Green's right to be the favorite. If I were Vancouver, I would have just torn that thing down 2 years ago. But they just – isn't that what they just tried to do? They just tried to put Band-Aids over the problem and think they could squeeze into the playoffs with 95 points. I feel like that's their goal every single year.
I know. Maybe it's time to bring the Sedins in as co-head coaches.
Right. They're in the organization now. I think,
they are. They are.
Yeah. The only other guy I wanted to mention here is John Hines. Now, Nashville's playing well enough to where I don't think they're going to get to that point. But I remember reading about him being on the hot seat before the season. And if they went through like a month where they really struggled, I think he could be a guy that they might get to, even though he just got there midway through in last January. But they're playing well right now. They've won 7 of the last 10. So I don't think they're anywhere near even thinking about that conversation. All right. When we come back, we were talking about the Canucks there in the Pacific Division. And actually the guy that was, I just looked it up, the favorite coming into the year to be the first coach fired was Dallas Eakins in Anaheim. And we'll talk about them for a completely different reason in a second.
Well, with all those odds out there on coaches to be fired, the place to make those bets is Bet Online. Bet Online is back and better than ever. They have a new web interface for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the basketball and hockey and football action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's all one word, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, the NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Joe DiBiase, Rachel Donner here on the Locked On NHL podcast. It is kind of amazing how much hockey you could bet on at BetOnline. Like, you could bet on Euro Hockey Tour games tonight between Czech Republic and Finland. I've never even heard of that tournament, but you could bet on it. KHL, Swedish hockey.
Yeah, there's some Olympic qualifiers going on right now.
Right. You could bet on the AHL, like the Laval Rocket. -102 against Bridgeport Sound Tigers. Like, you can do anything you want for hockey.
Yeah, well, Cole Caulfield's playing for them now, so
right. Let's stick in the Pacific Division, where we've talked a lot about them already today, but the two teams that we've kind of saved for, you know, the headliner here, the Ducks and the Kings. Like, Rachel, what is going on that they've won? The Ducks have won 6 in a row, I believe, and the Kings have won 7 in a row.
Yeah, I feel like this is sort of a similar situation to what's going on with Columbus in the Metro, is where you have, you know, mixed bag teams of some veterans with, you know, a youth movement coming up right now just because they're in rebuilds. And they're getting, I think, just this like perfect storm of the young guys like doing well early and the veterans stepping up, and they're just putting systems together that are working for them. And then, you know, they're getting some good goaltending performances as well. I just think, you know, and they're also taking advantage of a division that has been labeled as the weakest, other than, you know, the couple of teams at the top. And especially with Vegas struggling this year so far, it's given both of those teams opportunities.
That's a good point. Vegas, with all the injuries they've had, Pacioretty out, Mark Stone out, William Karlsson out. Obviously, they have Eichel now out, with Alex Tuch before that was out. Robin Leonard has been really carrying them to an 8-6 record. But otherwise, I mean, 8-6 for Vegas is not what expectations were. So, the door is kind of open there in the Pacific Division. And I'm stunned that Anaheim did it. LA, I would never have bet on them doing it, but I would not have been stunned just if you told me, hey, the Kings are 8-5-1 and they went on this win streak early in the year, because they, you know, they still got Kopitar, who we know is capable of being a point of game player. Dustin Brown's still been a capable goal scorer. in past years. They've got some other scoring depth. Iafolo, they acquired Arvidsson in the offseason. And I've always liked Cal Peterson and Nett, which is funny because actually Quick has been the one. Jonathan Quick has been the one that's kind of had a bounce back here.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of taken the net back. But LA, I could have seen it. Anaheim, I just... It's
Ryan Getzlaff with 14 points right. so far this season.
Only one goal, though, right? Only one
well,
goal.
Well, yes. But, like, Troy but Terry yes. has a ton of points. Kevin Shattenkirk. I mean, come on.
Adam Henrique. Like, look at their top four goal scorers. So, yeah. Troy Terry's on a 13-game point streak, by the way, which mm-hmm. is just nuts. Like, I always kind of liked him, obviously, going back to the World Juniors, but never a guy that you'd think 19 points in 14 games, 11 goals already. But, right, like, look at the next three. It's Getzlaff, Shattenkirk, Henrique that everyone would have told you, including myself, going into the year, they're all shot.
Oh, yeah, me too. I never in a million years. So who knows how long they can keep it up. They are old, but, you know.
Yeah, I would bet on the Kings to keep this up longer than the Ducks.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's just more about, you know, sample size and, you know, just the depth they added with Philip Deneau. And Arthur Kaliev as a 20-year-old has come in and looked pretty well at time, pretty good at times, although he's not really playing much, only 12 minutes a night. We'll see if I don't think Quick can hold this up for an entire season, given that he really hasn't played this good in like 4 years. But they've got Peterson right there if Quick kind of falters a bit, whereas the Ducks will be fine in that with Gibson. But I just don't see what they're doing up top being sustainable. Troy Terry being almost 2 points a game and Getzlaff having an assist per game. But good for them and good for that. I mentioned that Dallas Eakins was the favorite to be the first coach fired coming into the year. And given the start they've had, he's completely exited that conversation. So
yeah, especially now with the drama behind the scenes with Bob Murray.
With Bob Murray. I don't think that'll affect them on the ice. Do you?
No, I mean, I don't think so in the long run. I just think it's always one of those things you have to pay attention to.
I'm glad that though this is happening, you know, that the Ducks also, I don't maybe know the details of the story to even say this, but I kind of feel like I want to give them credit for kind of coming right out and like just putting this out in front of everybody, not hiding behind it. Cause I don't remember reading anything about any investigation that was going on with Bob Murray before the Ducks sent out that release this week that he was being placed on administrative leave.
Right. I think my understanding is that the hotline that was set up by the NHL was used very recently okay. to report some incidents. And so this is people like talking about stuff that's been going on for years, but they just got reported and the Ducks kind of got ahead of things by putting him on leave pending the investigation. And then he just decided to resign.
Right. Before we move completely away from the Pacific Division, is there anybody you're writing off? Seattle, Vancouver, San Jose has regressed mightily since a hot start. Would those be the three that you'd have to be really looking at?
Yeah, especially Seattle. I mean, I feel bad saying it, but I just don't see a way with those players and that coach that they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, I think what's happening in Seattle right now, from what I've seen, is like they're playing well. Like in terms of shot attempts, I still have natural stat trick open, so I could look at their Corsi 4 percentage. Yeah, they're 10th in the NHL in Corsi 4. Expected goals, they are, where are they? 13th. But to me, what I've seen is going on in Seattle is they're playing well. They're generating chances. They play well together. It seems like the system seems to be working, but they just don't have the talent on the roster to consistently finish. They'll get the chances, but they just don't have guys on the team that can score the goals consistently enough. Like Jordan Eberle's doing it. And Brandon Tanev even is doing it, but like that's it. Like for all those scoring chances that like Alex Wenberg gets in, Ryan Donato and Jonas Donskoy, like these are good players, but not guys you're relying on for 25, 30 goals a year. So I feel like that's what's going on there. And the goaltending too, they're not getting saves. That's the other problem with them right now, but I would be writing them off at this point. 9 points, 14 games, but. They have also played a lot of road games. Just should point that out. Although that's starting to even out. That's evened out. It's 8 road games to 6 home games, so never mind on that. We mentioned Bob Murray. Before we look at this weekend and what's going on there, do we want to say something on the NHL this week, not or coming out and saying through Rick Westhead of TSN that they are not going to be covering counseling costs for John Doe number 2 in the Chicago Blackhawks, Brett Aldrich scandal? I think I know why it's happening, but it's still gross to me.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it all makes sense from a business corporate legal perspective. I don't think anybody disagrees with that in terms of how the NHL handled it and how the Blackhawks are handling it. It just, you're right, it's gross. And given everything and the humanity that Kyle Beach has put on this and that John Doe's number 2's mother has put on this, just makes all of that seem so much worse. And when you inject humanity and empathy into these situations, you know, all of that, you know, legal jargon stuff goes out the window. And, you know, the NHL, you're right, did say that they weren't going to cover those costs and that they were going to sort of pass the buck to the Blackhawks, who were ultimately, you know, liable in this situation. But, and, you know, they tried to, the Blackhawks tried to frame it like they understand how they feel for him on a human level, but that they're going to do discovery work on medical records, transcripts, income records, so it can assess how this has materially affected John Doe number 2's life in terms of how much money they're willing to give him. And again, that's a normal legal procedure. Like discovery like this, when you're doing an award in a civil suit, that's how this works. But it just, yeah, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible, because ultimately, like, the court system has to put a dollar value on human suffering, yeah, and it's never good. It's just, yeah, never good.
Bettman's NHL just cannot turn off that legal brain, or that, like you're mentioning, like the business part of things in the name of morality. Like, it just, they're
like
incapable.
At a certain point, you have to just let that go. And
yeah,
and do the right thing, and they can't. It's the infuriating.
It's the same thing with concussions. Mm-hmm. Like, not even, you know, like they have been dragging behind other leagues, even the NFL, which is insane, on concussions. Whereas Bettman won't even acknowledge that there's a connection between head hits and concussions. Like we would have learned about or known about like 30 years ago, it seems. But yeah, it's just, I guess it's not surprising to me, but it's still, right, what was the word I used? Gross. All right, let's end on a happy note, though. Let's look at some of the top games that are coming our way in the NHL this weekend. I mentioned I'm going to Oilers and Sabres tonight. Always good to see Connor McDavid. One other game I wanted to point out this week in the Atlantic Division, Tampa and Florida are playing each other for the first time this season. Florida has lost a couple games lately, but still 10-2-2 on the season. Tampa, a little bit more pedestrian. It's 6-3-3. That should be a good game. Those two teams always play well. And I know you had a couple of games that you're looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm especially looking forward to the Kings-Jets game. Can the Kings keep that winning streak going? And, you know, are the Jets the right team to stop it? And where do they fall in the league right now? So I think both teams have intriguing stories to them. I think Blues Hurricanes should be a really interesting game, you know, completely different divisions, but both teams are kind of like second fiddle teams in a lot of ways right now. And so, you know, what is that matchup going to look like? So that's kind of where my focus is.
Both teams first in their division right now, but right. Like there are, are they the headliner of the division? Like, teams might tell you, I want to see Colorado still in the Central. And who do I want to watch play in the Metro? I want to watch the Flyers, the Penguins, and the Capitals over the Hurricanes. And then the one other game I'm going to watch on Saturday night is Minnesota at Seattle. I'm very intrigued by Minnesota. I've only watched one of their games so far this year. Came away very impressed. That play the other night between Kevin Fiala and Kirill Kaprizov behind the net on a 5-on-3. Their advanced numbers are like the best in hockey right now, but their goal differential is only +3. So I'm interested to see kind of what's going on there. So I'll be watching that game because I'm I'm interested right now in the Wild. That's going to do it, though, for us. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Rachel's at R Miriam. If you're listening to this podcast, remember you can check us out now on YouTube with the Locked On NHL YouTube channel. And I'll be back on Tuesday with Mike DeStefano here on the podcast. Me and Rachel will be back next Friday. Thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen. Now go make your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling.